your mighty army, no one can destroy. They'll leave a trail of victory till judgment day. Here comes a warning, calling soldiers to war. But half of them were sleeping, the other half ignored. Why have we come here? What lies in store? Isn't this what we have all been waiting for? Stand and be counted, because one thing I know, we are all soldiers in the revolution of heart and mind and soul. The end of all your worrying, we have all that we need. So stifle all your fear and complacency. Yeah, we walk through the valley and we glow in the shadow of death. We don't march alone, and life is too short to rest. Why have we come here? What lies in store? Isn't this what we have all been waiting for? Stand and be counted, there's one thing I know. We are all soldiers in the revolution of heart and hand and soul. Oh, I am convinced that the consequence of your effort is eternity. Paradise remains, but don't choose to claim this promise.
Everyone, to another edition of the Repair of the Breach broadcast. I'm Zach Daniel here on RBN, Public Broadcasting Network, publicbroadcasting.org is the website, and Repair of the Breach broadcast with Zach Daniel can be heard on the Pagan Calendar States every Sunday evening between 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the West Coast and 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. on the Central Standard Time Zone. And also want to give a quick reminder that tomorrow on the calendar is April 23rd, of course, we all have been hearing about the truck out going on, the rally that we need to support. We need to rally behind the truckers, because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be getting all the niceties that we all enjoy. But this truck out will be the 23rd, 24th, 25th, beginning at noon. And so we do need to rally behind that. I do believe that that is a worthy cause, because we do not want this country to continue to diminish its quality and so forth. And we know that without the truckers, our life and quality of life, so to speak, would be definitely diminished. So we need to rally behind them and support it. But you can go to the website for more information. Particular website is the midnighttrucking.com. That's just one big word, midnighttrucking.com, and plug into updates for the slow roll starting tomorrow. And so it should be very informative, very important to support that. And tonight I'm going to share a little bit from the book of 2 Ezra. It's one of the apocryphal books. I believe it's indeed inspired scripture. In fact, the canon, which we call today the 66 books of, let's say, the King James, which is called the Authorized Version. Originally, there was a lot more versions, or a lot more books in the original version. The Almighty's version was indeed the map to being His, and in His map, if you will, in His Word, in His Scriptures, in the Torah, as well as the Half-Torah, which is the prophets, the Torah being the first five books known as the Law, and then the Half-Torah, which is the prophets, you know, like Nehemiah, and Jeremiah, and Obadiah, those are the prophets, and Ezekiel, and Daniel, and Zechariah, Zephaniah, those are the prophets, the Half-Torah. And, of course, you have the writings, you know, the Psalms, the Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and so forth. Originally, there was more than 66 books. In fact, if you go and get an Ethiopian version of Scriptures, you'll have 88 books in there. And the Catholic Church originally had a lot more than 66 books in there. Of course, Jeremiah's name is pronounced the Y, because there was no J until the last 400 or 500 years. And in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 8 and 9, it talks about the lying pen of the scribes dealing to us falsehood or lies. And missions can be asked. In fact, sometimes I get this question asked quite a lot. You know, Zach, do you really believe that the scriptures were tampered with? And I would say that indeed so, because within the scriptures is prophesied that they would be tampered with. Now, I had one individual ask me, well, don't the Almighty would protect His word and He would not even allow them to tamper it? Well, He had all power, and He still does, but He also has sovereignty, and He can do what He wants, which sovereignty means that He can do what He wants whenever He wants and with whomsoever He wants. And in His sovereignty, He wrote through men, inspired men. There was true scribes, and then there was false scribes. And so in Jeremiah 8, 8, and 9, it talks about the lying pen of the scribes. These are obviously false scribes that would add to the word and take away from. If you look in a King James Bible, you will notice you'll see italicized words all throughout Genesis to Revelation. The italicized words, many places, is indeed help with understanding and so forth, language and translation and all. But also, those words can also give a different meaning. It can, in fact, many times, diametrically oppose the original meaning. Like, for instance, in Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, if you take the italicized words out of those particular texts, particularly Colossians 2, 14 through 18, if you take all those italicized words out, it will change meaning and do a complete 180-degree meaning. And so the italicized words were put in by the monks monking around with the manuscripts, and they did do that to let us know what they did add to the word. And many people say, well, there's no way Almighty Yahweh would allow that. Well, when He wrote through the wise man in Proverbs chapter 30 in verses 4 through 6, it says, to add thou not to the word of Yahweh, add not to His words, lest He reprove thee and thou be found a liar. If that could not have a viability or a possibility of occurring, then there would be no need to give the warning. Indeed, it happened. There was prophecies concerning the day it would occur, or many days, generations, that would take place. The Apostle Shaul, we've brought this up many times on the broadcast, warned about a time as soon as the apostle left the scene, which is after the first century, when it was completed in what they call the Common Era, that the lying ten of the scribes would deal with falsehood. Paul or Shaul said it like this, that after our departing, ravenous wolves would come in, sparing not the flock, speaking of the people of Yahweh that would serve him, that they would have no regard for those who keep the Torah, his law, his commandments, judgments, testimonies, and statutes. And they would not have any regard for the sacred name of our Creator Yahweh, which was in there originally over 7,000 times. Actually, it's mentioned 6,831 times, to be specific, in the scriptures. But probably a lot more than that, if you include many of the Renewed Covenant, Brit Kadoshah, what most call today the New Testament. But New Testament really is better, again, as I've stated many times, better rendered Renewed Covenant. You read Jeremiah 31, it talks about Yahweh renewing the covenant with the children of Israel and Yadah. Now, great controversy in the world of who is Israel and Judah or Yada. And it's not a location in the Middle East primarily. It is the people specifically that are every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation who come back to the Father's house, who come back to the Father's law, who come back to the Father's name exclusively, who come back to the covenant being engrafted as into the bride of Messiah, the body of the Messiah, Yahweh of Nazareth. That's who Israel is. And those who reject the Messiah and those who reject his judgments, testimonies, and statutes are excluded from Israel. So you have those who claim to be Israel today who reject the Messiah, reject the Brit Kadoshah or Renewed Covenant, from Matthew's Revelation, and they're claiming to be, quote-unquote, a Jew or an Israel. And the true Israel is, of course, those who are of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation that allow themselves to have the Father give them contrition, repentance. Yah's sorrow leads us to repentance, righteous sorrow. Not sorrow of the world to be repented of. Many are sorry that they've got caught after being judged or after they committed their crime or their penalty or what have you. But the righteous kind of sorrow is those who, when the Father deals with their heart about their transgression or the disobedience to his covenant, his commandments, his scripture, Yahweh begins to move upon them with his kind of sorrow, which allows us to judge ourselves before judgment day or when judgment comes or when the penalty phase is executed. And so when we judge ourselves first, the Apostle Shaul or Paul said in Corinthians, we would not be judged. And so when we error or when we mistake or when we transgress and disobey the covenants of Yahweh's scripture, he will convict our heart, speak to our conscience, and speak to our spirit that we need to get back on track with him. And he's patient and he's loving kindness. As scripture says, his mercy endureth forever. His mercy is new every morning. So regardless of how many times we failed him, we just need to get back up and just confess our transgression and forsake it in our heart and in our lifestyle and make that commitment to have him renew our hearts and renew our minds and renew our spirit, and so that we can be renewed in his covenant, so that we can have that hope, the scripture says, in Romans 8, that We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not yet hope. For what a man or a woman seeth, why doth he or she hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? And so when we understand that our trust and hope and faith in the Messiah, Yahweh of Nazareth, is so crucial to our outlook. People say, well, outlook. Well, if we just on the outside of our lives, we're going to find that it's not going to bring forth happiness. We need to have an outlook for joy. It comes from the Father above. The world can only bring you happiness, but that's a temporal thing, and it's fleeting, and it never goes away so quickly. And because sin is pleasurable for a season, and sin is the transgression of the Torah, of the first five books in the Scriptures. And so we are commanded to repent. And that's really this is really the nation's most important issue, I believe, is that repentance needs to come and grip the hearts of all the people of this land, and for that matter, all over the world. And repentance is a confession and forsaken of our transgressions, of our, and we know what those are because of our conscience is a built-in mechanism from the Father above, who made us in His image after His likeness, to detail to us when we err, when we do wrong. Of course, you can't let your conscience be your guide at the same time, because some men's hearts are seared with a hot iron, the Scripture talks about, or their conscience is seared like a hot iron. Can't let your conscience be your guide. The old saying, well, I'll let my conscience be my guide. Well, no, because some consciences are seared. But yet, those who are broken and contrite and sincere, your conscience is a very important mechanism that the Father has built in all of us. And when it's a healthy conscience, then it can be spoken to, spiritually speaking. And there was a man, his name was Ezra. And Ezra, you can read about it. He was, in fact, in the book of 1st and 2nd Ezra, those two books. Of course, there's a book of Ezra, E-S-Z-R-A, and then there was Ezra, E-S-D-R-A-S, which is a Grecianizer, a Hellenizer of his name, but it was really Ezra. And he had a dilemma, and he asked the Father above, Yahweh, seeing how there are so many people ignorant of his ways, so to speak, though he gave all men and women a conscience that can come back to him if it's a healthy one, if it can be spoken to, and at least have a right attitude towards the things of Yahweh. And he had a dilemma, though, because he could see all the ignorant folks who were sincere but yet wicked in their evil ways, because they had no knowledge they were doing were wrong. Some people that do wickedness for so long, they don't even consider it wicked anymore. But he asked the Father, Yahweh, Ezra, that you can read about it in the second book of Ezra, and I was hoping to read a little bit tonight. Probably take some calls here in the next 10, 15 minutes or so. But Ezra had a dilemma. He asked the Father, he said, surely you will have mercy on the sinner. Surely you will have mercy on him, and for he doesn't know the ignorance that's, upon him. And the Almighty, Yahweh, gave him a direct answer. In essence, he was basically telling him, he responded to him, and he said, you don't take and keep the dirt and the mud with the gold. When you find gold, don't you separate it from the dirt? And of course Ezra realized that, of course, no one does that. Even in a real life setting, when you pan for gold, or if you find jewels, you don't keep it with the ruddy, the worthless the mundane, if you will. You separate it. And Yahweh is that way with his children. He loves all men, women the same he has. He is no respecter of person. But when it comes to the judgment day, that's when a decision is made. And up until that time, he loves everybody the same. He does have favor in the sense that from those who seek his favor, he will give favor. But for those who do not seek his favor, well, they have not his favor until they ask for it and then do that which is pleasing in his eyes. But Ezra was really in a quandary. He had this dilemma. But he got his answer. You know, that which is rare is more precious and more valuable than that which is a plenty. For instance, there's more copper than there is silver. There is more gold. There's more silver than there is gold, right? In other words, the more rarer of character you find in people is what he was analogizing, the more valuable and precious they'll be accepted into his kingdom. But those who are not having his favor or his willingness to seek his forgiveness, he is willing to give us forgiveness. But for those who seek not his forgiveness and renewing and having a right attitude concerning his Torah, his word, then he can't bring you into that realm of his precious jewels. Because he said, in that day I will make up my jewels, and I'm going to separate the wheat from the chaff. Remember that? He said he was going to separate the sheep from the goats. He was going to separate the righteous from the unrighteous. I mean, this whole world, folks, is fixed up on positive or negative, right or wrong, yes or no, evil versus good. The enemy Satan of your soul versus the lover of your Yahweh, the Creator, the Messiah of Nazareth. So we do have a choice. And Yahshua, the son of Nun, the captain of the host of Israel under Moses, he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve Yahweh. And so that's what I would encourage you. Seek his word. Come back to him. He said, I've only come back for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's already come in the flesh, and he did die for our sins 2,000 years ago or so. And he loves us all the same. He wants us to come to him. But he said, man can come to me unless my spirit draw them. And you have a free will. You're a free moral agent like we all possess, that ability and quality from Father to choose. And he said, many are called, but few are chosen. We need to really search our heart, because things are going to happen on this land, folks, and it's going to happen sooner than we think. And if we can't get prepared to meet our Creator at any moment, because he said that no man's promised tomorrow, as a fish that is taken in a snare, so it happens upon the children of men. A fish, school of fish are just school, they're just swimming underneath the sea, and then all of a sudden the net's thrown out from the boat and they have no clue. They're oblivious. The fish are oblivious to the net that has just sprung upon them and entangled them and caught them. He said, so it is to the children of men. You read sad stories about people losing their life at a moment they had no warning. They had no update. And then, boom, you hear them dying in a car accident or dying, in just a tragic way. And it's really sad. But nevertheless, he said, it's appointed unto man or woman once to die and then the judgment. But only the Father Yahweh has that time. And he knows what that time is. And so we need to realize that our life is like a vapor, like James or Yaakov was really his name. James, Book of James, really, Jacob, he said that, what is your life? It is like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It's kind of like that teapot when you wake up in the morning, you make a pot of tea and you put the, pot, you get a teapot and put that water and you put it on the stove, and then pretty soon it vaporizes and it starts making that whistling sound. Doesn't take long, does it? And then it vanishing away, the water's vaporizing. And of course, we're all made up of water. Our bodies are about 80-90% water, maybe less, give or take. And then it vanishes away. Our life is like that vapor, and it vanishes away. You know, and our body's made up of that water, made up of the dust of the earth, and our bones are made up of the rocks. Our hair and our veins and our bodies comes from the grass. People say, well, where'd you get that information, Zach? Well, you study that out, and you research this out in the book of Enoch or Enoch. Read the book of Jubilees. You'll find a lot of this information, as well as the book of Adam and Eve. These are other books that are inspired, I believe, Scripture. And, yes, I do believe the 66 books. Just to, digress back to that thought, I do believe the 66 books that we call Genesis through Revelation. Is Scripture, but I do believe that those are translations that we have in our hands today that warned of a latter day. And also the latter day, sometimes when we speak of the latter days, in certain instances, like when Shaul, the Apostle Paul, spoke of the latter days, sometimes he'd refer to the day as soon as he departed and the rest of the apostles. And he said after our departing, after he was getting ready to be martyred, he said after this happens, ravenous wolves would come in and bring in doctrines of devils, seducing spirits, and so forth, teachings, damnable heresies, and so forth. And that happened as soon as the apostles left the scene. And so you have 2,000 years later where everything's been more convoluted after 2,000 years of apostasy, and yet there's always been a remnant. There's always been a people called by the name of Yahweh, though they are few and far between. It's not going to be a popular message. It's not going to be for the masses. Remember, there's only one name to call upon for salvation. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12 says, no, people say, well, Zach, isn't that Jesus or Yeshua? Isn't that the name we're talking about here? No, absolutely not. The name is Yahweh, YHWH. That's a direct reference out of Psalms 118, 22 through 26. The rock is Yahweh, and Psalms is referring. And Acts 4:12, 4:10 through 12 is the direct reference to Psalms 118, which is the name of Yahweh. You're listening to the Repair of the Breach broadcast on RBN. I'm Zach Daniel, the Repair of the Breach, breachmender@yahoo.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
On RBN, I'm Zach Daniel, the Repair of the Breach, and before the break, we were talking about the name that was referred to in Psalms 118, 22 through 26, and when you read Acts 4:12, many believe that that name in reference to that text is Jesus or Yeshua, when it has nothing, those names have nothing to do with that text whatsoever. Read Psalms 118, 22 through 26. It clearly is speaking of the name of Yahweh, YHWH, and it's something that is quoted in Acts 4, 10 through 12. Speaking of the rock, this is the stone that the builders rejected. It's become the head of the corner. That name is Yahweh. So in Acts 4, 12, where it says, neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name that's given for salvation, to call upon to be delivered, to call upon for remission of sins, to call upon for forgiveness of sins, to call upon to be baptized into, is in the name of Yahweh. That's the name that's being referred to there in Acts 4:12, because Psalms 118, again, 22 through 26, is referring to that. It's also Psalms, or Romans chapter 10, and also Acts chapter 2, is quoting from the prophet Yoel, where it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved. That's in Joel 2:28-32. So the importance of calling on the only name for salvation is critical, because the name above all names is not going to share his glory with another. Yahweh is not going, he said he would not share his glory with another. And whatever name you're called by identifies you whose servant you are. And so when you start studying the name Jesus or Jesus or Iesus or Jesus or Isis, these are pagan names with all due respect that go back to idolatrous heathenism. And I was there myself inadvertently as a Christian pastor, didn't realize that the apostles never called him Jesus at that time during the first century. And the first King James Bible, again, didn't have the name of Jesus or Jesus in it. It had only the name of Yahweh in it. In fact, originally in the first century, when you research the original text, the scriptures are indeed over 7,000 times or close to it, the name of Yahweh was in there instead of Jesus or Lord or God or Jehovah or Christ. The name of Yahweh, YHWH, Yod Heh Wah Heh, are the four Hebrew consonant letters that bring forth the saving name. And so whenever you see Lord or God in your Bible or Jesus or Jehovah, keep that in mind. And you can repair the breach like Isaiah 58:12 says to do and call on that name of Yahweh for salvation. Because if you're not going to call on that name only exclusively, then you're calling on another name maybe inadvertently. Sure, you're referring to the Creator, the Messiah, and from your heart's perspective, but from the actual lip perspective, the lip service perspective, if you will, with all due respect, is a violation of Exodus 23:13, where it says that we are to walk circumspectly and that we are not to utter a pagan deity's name out of our lips. Neither don't ever let it be heard from your mouth. And I think there's so many great references, material that you can verify my claims here. It's not just myself. Many Christian theologians acknowledge the name of Yahweh being in the scripture over 7,000 times. They acknowledge that. Why not go back to the original and only saving name? Why take a chance with your eternal destiny? I don't even like saying the word destiny, excuse me, eternal soul. Because when it comes right down to it, you know, many are going to come to the Messiah at the end time, the last day, and say, but didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out devils in your name, Matthew 7? Didn't we heal in your name? And he said, I never knew you. And all right, we've got a caller, and if you'd like to be a part of the broadcast tonight, you can call in 800-313-9443. What name are you called by? Because it's going to indicate who you serve. What name do you utter? What name do you pray or seek, help and deliverance? It's only going to come through the name of Yahweh in the last days. And, caller, how are you doing? Welcome and identify yourself.
Hallelujah, my brother. This is Dylan in Texas.
Hey, Dylan. Good to hear from you. How are you doing? What can we do for you tonight, my friend?
I'm doing real good. I'm just praising Yahweh for your program, which is praising the name Yahweh, and for RBN and for Radio Free Austin, on which I'm listening to RBN tonight.
Hallelujah. Well, man, we're glad you're doing well, and you got anything for us tonight to share? Something exciting?
Well, yeah. During the Christmas season, I often call it the satanic season.
The pagan feast of Saturnalia, that's right.
Well, I used to call it that even before I was reading the scriptures and all. It just seems kind of obvious. Anyway, I had a feeling of desolation, and this relates to the third commandment, the Hebrew meaning the Hebrew word translated vain. Mm-hmm. I know you know this, brother. You preach this.
No, go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I felt a feeling of desolation. Since Brother Zechariah here came on and started preaching the name of Yahweh, I had to confront Zechariah and found out that Zechariah's instruction wasn't enough for me. I needed personal revelation. I sought that, and I received it. And so then I began preaching the name of Yahweh. And L-O-R-D or G-O-D slips past my mouth now and then, but I don't preach in nothing but the name of Yahweh. And the deal is, last Christmas season, I found myself kindly returning the greetings of Merry Christmas and the other seasonal greetings that Americans have between each other, and that I've had with friends and family and strangers for years, you know, up until recent times. And I found myself returning these phrases, you know, just to be polite. And especially with people I didn't know, I might just be, you know, seeing them for a few seconds here and there. You know, you just want to be polite. You know, you just want to be polite. And I found
They don't know any better because we were in the same realm. We understand, you know.
And I found myself reasoning. I was saying, you know, okay, you know, it's. Yeah, I found myself reasoning, kind of in a way before I used to read scripture, you know, I sort of, you know, pick and chose from this tradition and that, you know, and for good reason, because I hadn't really, you know, identified what was what. But I claim to now have, you know, I claim the word of Yahweh, you know, in the scripture, and his name is Yahweh. And so, and I was realizing that every time I returned one of those replies, I wasn't saying what I meant to say, what I planned to say, which was hallelujah. Which is short for Hallelujah, you know.
Praise Yahweh,
And I was realizing that I was making his name desolate. That was my tick, because pretty much around that time of year, especially any time you say Hallelujah, you know, anyone accepts that. You know, you know, if someone says Mary,
no one's going to say, "Hey, you're an isolationist, or you're walking a real narrow way," because it's a universal praise to the true name of the Creator without people realizing.
Right. Right.
So it's accepted, but when you really start saying, hey, all the other names like Jesus and Lord and God and Jehovah are all going back from pagan origin and the Baal worship, they don't like hearing that. But we talked about this before, Dylan. All these Christian theologians and pastors acknowledge that Christmas and Easter is pagan, but the name Jesus Christ and Jehovah and all Lord and God, all these terms are pagan as well, and that's why those names are used during those pagan feasts, with all due respect.
To use these names is to take the name of Yahweh in vain. That is,
right.
by definition, to make his name desolate through abandonment or not using it.
Yeah, bringing it to naught, making it useless according to that.
Substitution.
You're right. Yeah, substituting. It's something that he said he despised because he said it was strange fire to him, and he mixed. He caused those who mixed truth with error to actually be judged in the end time. And it's not the good judgment to do that. It's a false judgment to allow it. If people say, oh, it doesn't matter, I'm going to use my better judgment. No, his judgment's not going to allow it. We can reason all we want today and say, it doesn't matter, but in the end, he's going to say, I never knew you.
A real good source backing you up, brother, it too, is Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. James Strong died about 1890, I believe, and he wrote his he devised a numbering system for all so-called New and Old Testament words in Greek and Hebrew, mm-hmm. and the Aramaic, and he has a Hebrew section and a Greek section to his book. It's called Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, and I have the recent one. I have it's Strong, the new Strong's Exhaustive Expanded Concordance, and it's pretty good. But you can just go take one of these off of the shelf, the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, at a bookstore and look up Hebrew Entry 3068. I think you're talking about that being originally in the so-called Old Testament over 6,000 times, and it also Hebrew Entry 3069, the very next one. It's the same word. It's the so-called Tetragrammaton, Yod Heh Wah Heh, the four letters Yod Heh Wah Heh 3069 and 3068, and Strong's is recognized internationally as his numbering system is adopted by all kinds of other authors of concordances and dictionaries. And so James Strong was backing this message up over 100 years ago, and he's recognized as, you know, the general authority on translations of words in the scripture.
Right. That's good. That's well stated. And Dylan, hey, brother, you always, again, are welcome to call in anytime. You've really been a great contributor to this broadcast as well, and RBN. And I just want to thank you for calling. And
we
calling
love you, brother.
We love you too, brother. And we'll go to Kenneth in Florida. Welcome to the Repair of the Breach broadcast, Kenneth.
Yeah, good evening, Zach. Enjoying the show as usual. I have a question. You were mentioning the book of Esdras earlier.
Right.
And I'm not able to find that. I have that eSword downloaded, and I've got several or quite a few versions of the scriptures.
Of the Apocrypha, yeah, there's some of them. You can actually go and Google that, ESDRAS, and you'll be able to get it that way. Sacred-text.com, I believe, has it as well.
Okay. I last week you mentioned the Bishop's Bible, and I downloaded that and installed that. And it does have some of the Apocrypha in there. Like, I'm not familiar with, like, Tobit and Judith and some of those. And I noticed also the Geneva Bible. I downloaded that, and it also has the I guess what they call the Apocrypha in that. It's my understanding when the Pilgrims arrived in America, that was the Geneva Bible was the Bible that they arrived with. Is that correct?
I believe that's correct. And in fact, the Geneva came in at 1587. The bishops came in 1568. But there was a lot of tampering between the bishops in those 20 years through the Geneva. And then, of course, when we get down to the 1611 Bible, there's even more of a watering down and so forth.
Yeah.
They didn't want the Geneva Bible, they being the Anglican Church and, of course, King James. They didn't want the Geneva Bible out there either, because the Geneva Bible included, for that day and age, included so many footnotes and so many great tidbits of information that they didn't like the so-called layman, finding out a lot of this information.
Did the Geneva Bible include the Apocrypha?
Absolutely. Same thing with the Bishop's Bible. You'll see the Apocrypha. And see, it's
okay.
Pretty much it was a lot of the Protestant churches, the so-called denominational Christian churches, got together, a lot of them, and started with the King James Version, where they started deleting, not the first King James Version, because the first King James Version considered the Apocrypha scripture. It was a part of the canon.
Okay.
And then it was the Protestants later on that watered down and said, nah, we're gonna break away from accepting these books. Now, who are they to pick and choose? Why did they stop at 66? That's it's a number of Freemasonry.
Yeah.
Number of man, 666 and 66.
Oh, okay.
So this is not coincidence. See, Freemasonry envelops and is entrenched in Christianity, and Christians who are sincere don't realize it as much, obviously, as the so-called illuminated Freemasons. The lower levels don't know what's going on either, but the higher levels are doing this. They call him Lord, but who are they calling on? They're calling on Lucifer.
Okay,
they call him Lord, they call him God, because those are all his terms in his kingdom. Same thing with Jesus and Jesus and God. I mean, go on and on. These terms go back to names full of blasphemy, like Revelation warned about.
Okay.
So
that's okay. That helps me out a lot. One more question. I've heard you speak on several occasions about that our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, said somewhere in there that my name changes not. Can you give me a, that where that is? Because I've been talking to my mom about that. She's, of course, 82 years old, and she's very set in her ways. But I'm trying to.
Okay. You can go to two texts to prove this. Malachi 3:6. I am Yahweh. I change not. And you, okay. then you can go to Hebrews 13:8. It'll have a different name that's been changing and developing. It's showing you that that couldn't be his name. And of course, where it says I am Yahweh, that is my name forever. That's Exodus chapter 3, and so forth. Kenneth, anything else? We're getting ready to go to a break. Stay
no,
tuned.
No, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, Kenneth. Okay, great. Kenneth, if you're still there, you're welcome to chime in. Anybody else wants to chime in, you can call in 800-313-9443 here. Manny's my producer, doing a great job back in the studios in Round Rock. And, of course, we want to support the network here, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. Do want to contribute to the network to keep it strong. And support that truck out, folks. It's coming shortly here in the next few hours, and starting on the 23rd of man's calendar. By the way, folks, the Sabbath will be and has been on with the pagan calendar, just to translate for those to understand. The true Shabbat in Scripture is found always on the eighth day of the moon, not the eighth day of May or April, but the eighth day of the moon. And the eighth day of the moon and the 15th day of the moon and the 22nd day and the 29th of the moon were always the weekly Sabbath. And the weekly Sabbaths occur four times in a moon, or in a month, scriptural month, which is the moon, the full new moon. And so that'll be to translate on the pagan calendar for the next two more weeks. It'll be from Monday evening to Tuesday evening. That'll be the weekly Sabbath. So if you want to be blessed, talk to Yahweh. I strongly encourage you to keep his Shabbat, because the true Yisrael keeps the Sabbath. Of course, you got those who say they're a part of Israel who keep a Friday, Saturday, Jews, like the Seventh-day Adventists and so forth. With all due respect, I used to keep Friday, Saturday as well. I understand that. But it could not have been the true Sabbath of Scripture because, number one, that's dedicated to Satan or Saturnalia, Satur, Isaiah 13. Of course, Sunday was never the Sabbath. There was none of these days perpetually were and are the Sabbath. The Sabbath was always determined by the moon. You can prove that out in Psalms 104:19, where it says Yahweh hath appointed the moon for seasons or for moedims, which are appointments or appointed times. The moon, okay, regulates the feasts, the Sabbaths, the months and the weeks. Okay, the sun regulates the day and the year. Okay, the stars let you know when a day truly begins, or at daybreak when you start seeing the stars come out. Read Nehemiah chapter 5, chapter 4 and 5 of Nehemiah will tell you that. So the stars at night let you know that a new day has started and an old day had just ended. A new day doesn't end at sundown, even though you got that 20 minutes to an hour of twilight to get home and prepare for Shabbat after the sixth day of the week is the seventh day. Scripturally, found by, again, the full new moon. And anybody got any questions or comments? We've got about 3 or 4 minutes before the broadcast is over here on the Repair of the Breach broadcast, 800-313-9443. And we'd be glad to have you, you know, chime in here in the next couple minutes or so. But the Sabbath, folks, is so pertinent, so important. It identifies us, one of the biggest identifying marks on his for his people is observing the weekly Sabbath. The name of Yah will get you into the covenant or get you to be renewed in the covenant, but the Shabbat or Sabbath is the test to see if you're going to keep the covenant and stay faithful to his commandments and so forth. Read Isaiah 24 for great study material, as well as Ezekiel 20, verses 12 through 20, Ezekiel 20, 20. You really want true spiritual vision, Isaiah 56, Isaiah 58. It is relevant for the so-called wannabe only New Testament believers out there. They kept the Sabbath in Acts 13. Acts 17, Acts 18. They kept the Feast of Pentecost. They kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread. These are all relative for today and relevant for us today. Also the Day of Atonement, the Day of the Fast in Acts 27. It was known as the Fast in Acts 27. But the Christians today, with all due respect in the church world, have not been taught this. You have been deprived, all you Christians out there, with all due respect, from the pulpiteers who refuse to declare these truths to you because they themselves are blind, leaders of the blind, and they both fall in the ditch. So come out of the church system. Come out of her, my people, he says in Revelation. Come out from among them and be separate, saith Yahweh. Repent, confess, and forsake the transgression of the Torah. And we have another caller, Manny. Who do we got this time? Rich in Louisiana, welcome.
Hi, I'm a Sabbatarian. And,
well, praise Yahweh.
Well, thank you. Thank him. And just turned into your show and am fascinated by some of the things. I'm kind of where you are. I've come out of the Armstrong organization, but have moved on far from there. And this, what you say, that the Sabbath starts on the eighth day. Here's something that my group has been not arguing, but discussing. It's either the conjunction of the moon, the sliver of the moon, or the full moon. Now, can you help me with that as to
yes.
when the month starts?
I kept both. And then the third one, which you mentioned, is the only one correct. The new moon is the full moon. They're synonymous. They're interchangeable. I'll give you scriptural references to prove it in the Torah. Numbers 10:9-10 says, "These be the beginnings of your months," or the beginnings of your moon. The word beginning means captain, chief, head, top. Captain, a sliver or a dark phase of the moon is not depicting any of those descriptions that the word beginnings of the moon in the Torah. Also, Psalms 81:3 says to blow the trumpet in the new month. When is that? At the full moon, at the time appointed. The word appointed is the Hebrew word kesa, which means the fullness of the moon.
Yes, do you say that the day starts at sunset or at the daybreak?
I believe when the first star comes out in the west, or when the stars start coming out, that's when you know. That's the, one of the stars' purpose is to let us know truly when a day has begun. It doesn't begin completely in darkness, as some have stated, because there's that period of twilight when that first star in the west comes out. Obviously, there's some day or twilight still, but that's a new day. That's the term for daybreak in Nehemiah 4 and 5.
And the Sabbath is held on the eighth day from the full moon?
That's right. Okay, when you see, the new moon, the new full moon rose on with the pagan calendar day Monday evening. That means the Sabbath for the next four Monday evenings and Tuesday evening will be those 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th. And then when you see the new full moon rise on a Tuesday night, then it'll be Tuesday evening to Wednesday evening.
Great. What's your website?
You can go to the Yahoo groups that we got. Just go to ourrepublicbroadcasting.org under Zach Daniels, and it gives you a link right to it.
Great. Thank you.
And you can email me at Zach Daniel, 2 K's for Zach, and Daniel singular, no.